Open banking. You are going to hear this phrase more and more in the years ahead, and it has nothing to do with the hours of your local branch. So what is open banking, and what does it mean for you as an individual? Justin Farabee is the COO of Payments Canada. He's here to talk about what you need to know about open banking. Hello there.
Hi.
So what is it? This is the jargon du jour. We should probably be well-versed. Your definition may be no longer than five words.
Ooh, I got nine.
I'll take nine.
Mandatory use of standard interfaces for banking information and payments. Now, hold on.
That is the most boring nine words I've ever heard in my life.
It's a big deal.
All right.
It's important. It's worth it.
Okay.
Stick with it. Mandatory means all the banks have to do it.
All the banks have to do something.
You're going to have to do something. Standard means only one way to do it across everybody.
Uh-huh.
And it's for banking information and to make payments.
What is the benefit to a consumer of that very long and very boring nine-word definition?
I know. It seems really boring.
Aren't you in charge of this? Can't you rebrand it? You need a better PR firm.
I totally do. The big thing that's important to consumers is it takes the control of your financial information from your financial institution and puts it in your hands. So you start to control your information, and you're able to use the information more effectively, get more services for it.
Who is pushing this? Because I can't imagine that it would be the banks, given that they love to have a certain level of control on the information their clients.
But banks are a trusted party and an important party, and they're open to this as well. They believe in it. They subscribe to it. They want to move in a paced way to make sure it's safe and secure, but they're supportive of it. We've seen it implemented in other countries, and it's very effective.
But who's pushing it?
Where does it start? This starts with consumer groups, with new fintech or paytech companies that are trying to develop
lobbying the government to say we need to make this happen?
Yes.
What's Payments Canada's role?
Payments Canada is a payments infrastructure. So we process all the payments that happen in the economy every day. We clear and settle them. Our position is not to advocate for open banking or not to. We have a position on it based on our understanding of it. And we think that it's good for the Canadian market, but we're not the champions of it.
So Bruce now has control over my data. What does that mean for me in practical terms?
You get a complete view of all of your financial information. You may have information in different places. You may have a credit card. You may have a line of credit. You may have your investments in different places, different bank accounts, current accounts. Maybe you have a small business. You got information everywhere. What it allows you to do is bring it all together in one place. You can do that now. You have paper statements. You bring them in. You can pull all that together. You can sit down with a financial advisor. You can lay them all out.
And there's some fintechs who scrape your different accounts and can aggregate it.
And so the screen scraping is actually what open banking is intended to perform the same functions as that, but screen scraping isn't safe. So you're providing your credentials. You could be violating your account agreement, which terminates your protection that you get. So the screen scraping is actually bad behavior that open banking is trying to mitigate and trying to introduce in a safe way.
What is the way to make open baking? I love baking. So we could bake anything. Cookies? No. Different topic. What is a way to make open banking safe? How do you make it safe?
That's exactly the concern, is about cybersecurity and privacy and all of those things. So the first thing is that you need to control the cybersecurity pieces. You have to ensure that the standard protocols allow it to be very focused, very controlled, and very safe. We have moved from branch banking to online banking, from online banking to mobile banking. We can move to open banking. We can do it in a safe way, but it must be done in a safe way.
There will obviously be a pretty significant IT spend for governments, for banks, for whomever. Who will bear the cost of that?
At the end of the day, it'll likely be the shareholder of the banks.
How much of an infrastructure spend is this? For countries that are ahead of us, is this like 10% of GDP, or is it in the modest millions?
It's in the modest millions. It's actually almost fractional. You wouldn't notice it. The cost, almost tongue-in-cheek, the shareholders of the banks, but it's minuscule. It wouldn't be noticed because this is material. The technologies that are being used are not new technologies. They're being used in other ways. They would just be used for this purpose.
For the countries that are ahead of us on this, what are the benefits? What have they been talking about that said, this is worth it. This change was worth it. The education effort was worth it. It was worth it. Why?
The biggest thing is competition for financial services. So you're going to be better matched to the services you need. If I can see all of how you're using your bank account and I can see the way you're using it, I can find the best bank account for you, the best investment for you, or any financial product can be competed because I can see visibility. So by allowing that information to be accessed, a fintech can come in, they can pull it all together, they can look at it, and they can prepare good options for you that are much more accurate to what you have. They're in real time and they can match you up. So imagine a loyalty program. Maybe use Aeroplan or whatever program you use. If you're able to see your actual payments and see where you're spending your money and how you would use it, you could probably match yourselves up to a better loyalty program, as an example.
What I don't understand is why a bank or a credit card company would want to do this. For profit-seeking corporations, the inefficiencies on pricing dynamics are in their favor, right? So one of the things that has changed in the financial planning world is CRM2. There's much more visibility around advice, but that isn't necessarily helpful if you're running a financial advisory practice, because consumers then stick their heads up and go, what? I'm paying that? This is crazy. So we will see that kind of discontinuity in the marketplace. Why would a bank want that?
You will see the discontinuity. It's a bell curve. There are some who see opportunity. In most cases, we see more opportunity is created because it opens up the market. Right now, people are locked into their financial institutions, and our banks compete fiercely. So they want to gain those customers, they want to gain the advantage, and they want to do it by providing a better service. Those who see it move on it, and then those that are behind
will wither and die.
or they catch up.
What are some of the risks or downsides or even issues to mitigate? So I'm sure in all of this, there's so many things. We've talked about data security. What else?
Privacy is the thing most people worry about. And the name is so unfortunate. Open banking implies that it's wide open and your information's all out there.
It's like an open marriage. Like, yeah. Ashley Madison is going to be running the entire process.
Just search my name. You can see all my financial information. So it's not that. It's actually the opposite. It's a controlled release of information in a controlled manner that you control. So you can say who sees it when. You have more control over it now than you would otherwise. So for example, if I have my financials, my statement, I can take that to a lender and I can say, here's my statement. They can see everything, but I don't redact it. Whereas with open banking, you can allow access at any point for any amount to whomever you want, and you can retract it as well. So open banking comes with standards, but it's also standards for information and access and your right as a consumer. So your consumer rights come with it.
There is so much that banks and credit card companies could do currently. They're fully enabled. They have all the data and they don't do it. For example, spending by category on your credit card and looking at longer term trends of spending within those categories. The credit card companies have all the data to talk to anybody else to get that data. And yet they still are unable or unwilling to serve it up to me in the way that I want as a consumer. Not all credit card companies, but my credit card company won't do it.
Mine too.
Why is that? I do not understand it. There's a clear and compelling consumer benefit. It would be great for optics, and they don't do it. Tell me why.
Well, there's a multiple part answer to that. One is, in some cases,
is it as boring as your definition of opening banking?
Yes, it is. Okay. They're not allowed to in some cases, and they don't want to in other cases.
Why don't they want to?
Well, there's deals they have with how they sell, and they control the information and where it goes, and so there's some restrictions that are put onto it. And there are also some cases where they don't have material amount of information. It looks like they do, but there's not a lot behind it.
What does that mean? I've been with the same credit card company forever. They have every single transaction that I put on that card. Why can't they tell me how much I spent on gas in 2018?
They can on some categories like gas by virtue of it being a gas station, but they don't have the data on what you bought. It's to, from, and maybe what institution or what company you bought it from, but it doesn't have rich data. It doesn't have your receipt data or any of that kind of stuff. So what's coming in the future is more data with payments, which would allow you to do much more analysis and see more stuff in your...
Don't worry, I won't subject you to all my pet peeves. Only a few. Tell me, just before we go here, what expectations should we manage in terms of timing? When is open banking a thing that is alive, real, and in the zeitgeist?
Years.
5 years? 10 years?
3 years. It starts to see 3 years within 5 years.
So still long before I have to start coloring my
hair. Yeah, long before that.
Okay. Yeah. So 3 years. And who is the country that is the furthest ahead on
this? The UK.
The UK, so we watch the UK, and maybe
you'd almost say like Europe. Europe is far ahead. The UK is far ahead. Let's imagine that the clock struck 12, and they're already in open banking. In the US, it's coming 10 minutes to 12. We're almost there. In Canada, we're probably about 10:30.
Justin Farabee is the COO of Payments Canada. Our topic, open banking.